so happy you're here listening right now. This is Eternity Church's weekly podcast. You will find our messages encouraging, inspirational, and relative to your life, no matter what stage of the journey you find yourself in.
For those of you that don't know me, my name is Connor Weber. And that's exciting because I got married just a month ago to Ian over there. Yeah, so I'm still getting used to saying Connor Weber, but it's awesome and I love it. And I am the youth pastor here at Eternity. I get the privilege of leading the wild youth. Are there any students, wild students or leaders out there this morning? Would you just give me a shout? Woo! Okay, I'm guessing they're all still sleeping. That's okay. I don't blame them. I'd probably be sleeping too. But anyways, it's a privilege to be here this morning. And I want to take a second and I just want to thank and honor our lead pastors, Jesse and Lauren, and our amazing staff. Because it's truly amazing. It's amazing to be at a church where they don't just recognize anointings on people's lives, but they actually come alongside them. And they train them and they encourage them. So I am so thankful for that. Do you guys agree? Yeah, would you just give them a big round of applause? Yeah. Can I share some of my story with you this morning? Yeah, would that be okay? So I actually don't have the kind of story where at the age of 10 or 15 or even 20 that I knew that I was called to be here. Where I knew that I was going to be a pastor and that I was going to be leading a youth group. That's not really my story. So actually growing up, I wanted to be a police officer. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. But my dad is a police officer. He still is today, and I'm so thankful for him and the service that he has done. Yeah, would you just give all of our police officers a round of applause? Yeah, they do amazing work. And you see, I saw him come home every day, and he was really good about compartmentalizing work. So he left work at home, or he left work at work, and when he came home, he didn't really talk about the hardships or any of that. So I just saw it as something that was really honoring, and he loved to serve. And I was always told that I had that personality, and I had those qualities to do that well. And while I still believe that, I could do that if I really wanted to, but there came a point where my mindset shifted. But I came home from college and I got a job at the Urbandale Police Department. And I was working there as a community service officer, which was basically just a catch-all. They had a lot of stuff that needed done. And so they hired me to do whatever needed done around the police department. And by the time I left, I was actually their evidence manager, which meant I was a 24-year-old woman managing their entire evidence room. Yeah, that was pretty wild. I also would go out to crime scenes, and I actually collected evidence and took pictures for them. So it was an amazing job. Don't get me wrong, like, it was truly amazing. I learned so much, and I made great friendships there. But my mindset shifted, and my heart shifted. Actually, what happened was that I started to better understand how God made me. I started to better understand who he designed me to actually be. One day I was spending time with God. Before work, I was just in my house by myself, and I was spending time with him in his word. And he asked me a question. He asked me, Connor, how much do you trust me? Yeah, that was a little rough. That was a little rough. Like, if you're in any kind of a relationship or friendship, if you have someone that asks you how much you trust me, that's kind of scary. Like, I'm going to be honest, I was a little nervous. I was reading about the story of the widow and Elijah. And so this widow goes to Elijah, and she says, I need help. I have two sons, and I need to be able to provide for them. I don't have a way to do that. I need your help. And so Elijah told her, I want you to go out. I want you to find all of the vases that you can find, all of them. Go to your neighbors, ask them for their vases, and then bring them into your house and close the door and start to pray. And she did that. She went out. She asked her neighbors for vases. She went into her house and she prayed. And they started to fill. One by one, they started to fill with oil. Now, what's so special about that? What's amazing about that is that she was then able to take that oil and sell it. So how much she earned was dependent on how many vases she got. What God was asking me was, Connor, how many vases would you have got? How much faith do you have in me? You see, I hadn't had a time in my life where I had to completely trust him. I just didn't. I mean, of course, he was doing those things for me in my life, but I hadn't allowed myself to be in a situation where I needed to completely rely on him. I was very independent. My parents raised me to be that way. And so I didn't allow myself to need his help. So I knew what he was asking me. I had to quit my job. Yeah. On top of that, I had a house with a mortgage. And I was not married then, so that meant that that relied on me. That relied on me. So let me say that again. I quit my job. Yeah. But the crazy thing was, I had a job that was in line with what I had been working towards for the past 8 years. I had been working towards that for the past 8 years, and I didn't have a clue what else I was going to do. I didn't have a clue. You see, it didn't come as a complete shock to me, because over the course of my last year there, I knew that I wasn't passionate about it anymore. I knew that my passions were shifting, but I didn't know what that looked like. But really, my biggest fear in that time was what people were going to think about me. Were they going to look at me and say that I was being immature? Were they going to look at me and say that I was being lazy because I didn't have a plan? But what really mattered was what God was doing in me and what he was setting me up for. Because I was fully convinced, and I knew that I knew that I knew that this is what God was asking me to do. I knew that. And because of that, I knew that he was going to come through for me and that he would defend me in that time. That I didn't have to do that. I just had to step out and do whatever he was asking me to do. And we all know that he had a plan during that time and that he used that to set me up for what he had designed for me. He used that to get me to a place where I had to fully and completely trust him and seek only him. Because I didn't have a choice. I didn't have anything else to look to. I knew that I had to seek him. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to open up to 2 Corinthians 12 this morning. We're going to read verses 9 through 10. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am what, church? Strong. For when I am weak, then I am strong." The first thing that I see there is that we stand in grace. No matter where you find yourself, there is grace for you. God hasn't given up on you. If you find yourself 8 years down the road following something that he hasn't designed for you, he will get you to a place that he needs you to be in order to get on his path for your life. You have grace. But did you catch what Paul said? "I gladly boast and delight in weakness." I boast and delight in weakness. That is so counter to our culture today. So counter. Our culture that tells us that we need to toughen up. Or if you fall down, just rub some dirt on it and you'll be fine. Or if you feel weak and you think that people see that, put on a face that shows that you're strong so they don't see that you're weak. You need to hide in that. That's what our culture tells us. But here, we have Paul telling us that we should, in fact, delight in our weakness. And I didn't understand that scripture until I had decided to quit my job. While I felt weak because I didn't know what was going to happen, I didn't know how I was going to pay my mortgage or what I was going to pursue, what I was going to do for the rest of my life, I delighted in that time because I knew that he was going to do something amazing. I knew that because that's what he promises us. If he asks us to go somewhere, he goes before us. If he asks us to do something, he doesn't leave us. If we don't see the blessing, then he isn't done. He isn't done until we see the blessing. So the week that I put in my 2 weeks' notice, that very week, Pastor Jesse asked to have a meeting with me. So I walked up to his office, and I remember sitting down, and Pastor Christy was in there too, which is why she's kind of smiling. I sat down, and I remember saying, I kind of feel like I'm in the principal's office, and like I did something wrong. Not that I had, but this wasn't a usual occurrence for me. It wasn't like a regular that I would go talk to Pastor Jesse. So I went in there, and he kind of just asked what was going on in my life. He'd heard a little bit and just wanted to know, like, hey, what's going on? This is a bit crazy. But by the end of it, he actually asked me, he said, Connor, I want you to pray and consider taking a position here at the church. And if that's what God's laying on your heart, it will turn into a full-time position. And that's something that I had only briefly thought about. I had thought about it a little bit prior, but I quickly dismissed it because in my eyes, I was not qualified for that. I did not think I was qualified for that. But you see, God is able to do abundantly more than we can ask or even think. He can do abundantly more than we can even think or dream of. And he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing, and I got to be along for the ride. So this week's sermon is titled, The Strongest Link. For those of you that are taking notes, we have 3 points this morning. The first one is this. In whatever and anything we do, it is by God's strength. It is by God's strength. It is not reliant on us. Have you ever heard the phrase, God wouldn't ask you to do something that you couldn't handle? He wouldn't give you more than you can handle. I've heard that a lot, and I didn't really understand my discomfort with it until I heard Pastor Jesse say this about it, and I agree. He says, no, God won't give you more than you and the Holy Spirit can't handle. He won't give you more than you and the Holy Spirit can't handle because we have the Holy Spirit. And what is there that the Holy Spirit can't handle? Nothing. But we also hear people say, you're only as strong as your strongest link. Or you're only as strong as your weakest link. But we say, no, we are as strong as our strongest link. And our strongest link is Jesus. And our strength comes from him. So this morning, if you are facing a giant or you're facing something that seems out of your league, I want you to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give you his supernatural strength and pray that he does a miracle, because if you find yourself in that situation, you are perfectly set up to see him do a miracle in your life. You are set up to have a testimony of his faithfulness in your life. So be encouraged by that. Don't be discouraged. And don't fall into the trap of comparison or wondering what others will think during that time. Because I found myself in that, and all that it did was stop me from stepping into what he had prepared for me. All that will do is paralyze you and leave you feeling bitter instead of propelling you into the blessing that he has designed for you. Remember that he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. So you might feel like you are spinning your wheels, or like you can't keep up, or like you've taken one step forward to take two steps back, or like you just don't have what it takes. Like you aren't called or you aren't qualified. But Philippians says, I can do all, church say all, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I quit my job and I don't know what I'm going to do. God does. My marriage is on the rocks and I don't know how to fix it. God does. My kid isn't following God and I don't know how to help them. God does. I feel weak. God is strong, church. God is strong. Let him be your strength. In all of our lack, he has everything that we need. In all of our lack, he is our strength. Point number two is this. In everything we do, it should be with God's vision. With his vision. Because you see, God sees things differently than we see them. I want us to look at a story of a young boy. A young boy with a big calling on his life. 1 Samuel. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. That passage there is talking about David when he is going to be anointed to be the new king. So Samuel's task is to go to David's dad, Jesse, and anoint the new king. So Samuel goes out to Jesse and he says, I'm here because one of your sons is going to be the new king. So I want you to round them all up and we're going to figure out which one it is. So he goes, he gets all of his sons and he lines them up. And Samuel starts going down the line. He looks at the first one. You have pretty big muscles. You're probably pretty tough, but I don't think it's you. You're tall, intimidating, but I don't think it's you either. No, not you. Definitely not you. So he keeps going down the line, and he gets to the end, and he looks at Jesse, and he says, are these all of your sons? Are these all of them? And Jesse responds, and he says, well, my youngest is still out in the field tending to my sheep. Isn't that interesting? David's own dad doesn't even call him by his name. In that moment, Samuel had told him, I'm looking to anoint the new king. So in Jesse's mind, well, it's probably not my youngest. I have all of these other boys that would come first, so he doesn't even retrieve him. And in fact, he says, my youngest. Church, God doesn't overlook us. In fact, he sees us completely. He sees us as we were, as we are, and as we will be. He doesn't overlook us. It can be easy to ask God for vision for our life or situation, but sometimes a harder prayer is, God, help me to see myself the way that you see me. Because it seems like sometimes we just want to hide in our weakness. We want to hide in the corner so that people don't see what might be wrong with us. Hear this, you foolish and senseless people who have eyes but do not see, who have ears but do not hear. Ask God to give you eyes to see yourself the way he does. Ask him to give you ears to hear what is true about you. Ask him to help you hear and see what is true about you, because he knows. He knows what is true about you. God created you in his image. He chose you knowing everything that you would ever do. He has loved you from before time began. Pray to see yourself through his eyes. And point three, in everything we do, it is in God's resource. God is able to give you exactly what you need. And not only that, but the power to accomplish whatever he asks you to do. It is not by your power, it is by God's power that you accomplish anything. 2 Corinthians says, God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. In all things, at all times, having everything that you need. And I love when we see words like abundantly and abound in Scripture, because that really shows us the heart of God. It shows us his heart that's a father that only wants to bless us. Church, we don't serve a stingy God. We serve a generous God. And that is why, as this church, we want to be the church that is the most generous. Because we want to replicate the heart of God. And his God is to abound in blessing. And 2 Peter tells us that his divine power has given us everything we need. Has given us everything. He has already given us everything that we need. That means if you don't see it right now, if you don't see the income, if you don't see the relationship, the healing, the joy, the peace, it is coming, church. It is coming. Stay strong. Stay strong, church. Let him be your strength. You may be the weakest link, but his strength, his resource, his power and his vision are available to make you strong. You are as strong as your strongest link, and your strongest link is Jesus. But there are some of you in here that might not know Jesus yet. Some of you that haven't added that link to your chain yet. I would hate to leave today and not give you an opportunity to meet him. To meet him. To let you look to him as your strength. And to let him start moving in your life and in your circumstance. If that's you this morning, I want you to say this prayer that we say every week. I want you to say it with us together, boldly, with a confident heart. His word tells us that if we believe in our hearts and we confess with our mouth that he is Lord, then we are saved. That's it. That's all that we have to do. It's that simple. And he's holding it out for you. He wants it for you. But you have to say yes. You have to grab hold of it. If you guys would just stand with me as we say this prayer. And again, we are going to say it all together so that you don't feel alone or feel singled out. So if you would go ahead and repeat this with me line after line. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sins. He rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all. I receive your forgiveness. I receive this new life with Jesus as my Lord. Help me to live it the way he designed it, special, just for me. In the name of Jesus Christ, Amen. Amen, church. Let's just give God a shout of praise. So if you prayed that for the first time, there are just a few things that I ask you to do. The first thing is this, that you tell someone, whether that's the person that you came with or the person that you're sitting next to, or you go home and you tell your family or your friends, or you tell it on Facebook or Instagram, whatever, just tell someone. The second thing is that you tell us. And how you do that, in a minute, there'll be a number on the screen. We just ask that you text the word saved to 25827. And if you do that this week, you will receive a gift in the mail. You'll receive a Bible, worship music, and a gift card to a coffee shop. And those are all things that we know are going to bless you and help set you up on this journey with Jesus. The last thing that I'm going to ask you to do is that you tell me. And that's not so that I can point you out or ask you to come to the front or embarrass you. It's really for two reasons. First, I want to celebrate with you. I want to celebrate with you because that is the biggest decision you could have done with your life. You now have a relationship with Jesus, who provides you everything that you need and who has designed your life specifically for you. So I want to celebrate with you. And secondly, I just want to be able to pray for you, just from where I'm at, up here. So in a few seconds, I'll count to three and I'll ask you to raise your hand. For the rest of you, if you could all just close your eyes and bow your heads, we're going to give them some privacy in this time. And if that was you this morning, on the count of three, if you could just raise your hand. One, two, three. Go ahead and raise your hands if that was you this morning. Amen. Amen. God, I just thank you for those hands that were raised this morning, God. Those hands that are reaching out to you to be their strength. God, to provide a breakthrough for them. God, I just pray peace and joy and hope over their life. And I thank you that as they leave this place, they are a new creation in your name. They are a new creation. They have accepted you. They have said yes to you. And God, I just ask that any shame that they are holding on to would be broken off in Jesus' name so that they can walk out and step into everything that you have designed for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we also don't ever want to end a service without giving you guys the opportunity to get the prayer that you need. Maybe you find yourself in a situation today where you need strength. You're facing a giant. You're waiting for your breakthrough. Whatever it may be, come to the front. Come to the front and get prayer. Let me tell you, when I was in that time, when I had already decided I was going to quit my job, but I didn't know what was next, I needed faith. I needed to borrow some people's faith in that time. I needed people to come alongside me and encourage me, tell me that I wasn't crazy, and to pray for me so that I could borrow some of their faith. I needed them to remind me what God had promised me, to remind me who He is and who I was. So church, if you need prayer, please don't wait. Don't wait until tomorrow or until next week. Come to the front and get the breakthrough and the strength that you need this morning because God is waiting to give it to you. He's waiting to give it to you. So if that is you this morning, please come to the front and we're going to continue to worship. Love you heaps, church.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this, share it with your friends or neighbors. This coming weekend or next, we'd love to see you at church. You'll find locations and service times at myeternity.com/locations. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. Have an awesome day. Love you heaps.